Hello, listeners. Welcome to the second episode of Finding Unity in Humanity, Beginning a New Legacy of Social Justice. I am Brittany, Alpha Iota Chi president. I use she, her pronouns.
I am Mel, Alpha Iota Chi's vice president of leadership, and I also use she, her pronouns.
We will be your host today. Last month, we put out a call for submissions to obtain artwork done by members of the LGBTQIA+ community, and today we will be speaking with our very first artist.
The Psalmist. It begins. I was created a maker of peace, but I won't keep it for the sake of sake. Never a taste for mechanical, but a home in the intangible. I cry with both eyes. Break through in the breakdown. I come alive in the night. I held onto your word as if breath incarnate, only to shatter my Babylonian thick walls and watch myself destroyed. I had waited for the day that you would say my name in anger. Suffering has no quantity, only pulse. So starts the exorcism of your voice inside my head. I kill myself, bury myself, resurrect myself so that I may be born and born and born. Ever over and under, no end. La petite morte. I looked for you in empty bottles with heartbeats and paper labels. I watched your shadow move across the peaks and valleys of the room. Even then I felt you. I'd give my whole heart just to know your nervous ticks and hear your thoughts when the beast of burden takes hold. So you won't be alone. Then I'll tell you I have them too. Maybe we'll have tomorrow or 50 years. I digress. But I'll settle for your last moments of wakefulness, your last seconds of heavy eyelids, as your breathing slows and you lie covered in my fingertips. Frozen. Tepid fingertips brush my skin. I want your whole hands. Pull me close. I don't know how else to tell you I'm your all too willing host. I'll swim in the ocean of you. Promise I won't tame your sea. I like you wild, just as I am. Sink your teeth in, devour me. Don't you wait any longer. I'll let you sleep in my soul. It's a messy place, but it's warm inside. No one tells you hell is cold. Everything. Everything you are is sitting beside me in a diner, in your eyes from my bed and on your fingers down the small of my back. I pray your thoughts about me manifest their way to my body again, but I liked how you looked at me over your coffee cup, like I was August sunshine and Christmas morning. Later I'll realize I love you because I like the ocean we become, how I am baptized over and over again into everything I am with you.
Brianne is a Northeast State Community College honor student majoring in medical laboratory technology. She submitted four very moving pieces of poetry, which you just heard, and we are so excited to discuss her work today.
Yeah, first let me thank you so much for talking with us today. Welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm really, really happy to be able to take part in this.
We're so excited. Can I just say, we were so excited when we got your email. Yours came in first. It was the first email we got, and we were just so excited to see it, especially with four poems. It was really exciting.
Oh, cool. Thank you all.
As Mel said, your poetry is incredibly moving. Can you tell us what made you decide to submit your work, and were these original pieces for this, or had you already written them?
Well, as I've gotten older, I have become much more open about sharing my writing. I used to be really guarded about it, and being a gay, married woman, I jumped at the chance to be able to share it with a special spotlight on my orientation in particular. And these were not original pieces that I wrote specifically for this. I kind of sat down and tried to write an LGBT plus piece specifically, and it just wasn't coming to me. So I kind of went through everything that I had, and I thought, you know, I think I have some things that would be relevant to this. So I just picked some and took a leap of faith and submitted them.
That's awesome. We really, really love them. They're really great pieces, and they were perfect for exactly what we were looking for.
Okay, we're going to go on our next question. In your poem entitled Everything, you describe to be longing to be connected to an individual. But I'm feeling like you like the person you are when you're with them. You say, I pray your thoughts about me manifest their way to my body again. But I liked how you looked at me over your coffee cup like I was August sunshine and Christmas morning. Can you tell us a bit about the poem, those lines specifically, and what they mean to you?
Sure. Well, I was actually saying that I was praying that to have that person's thoughts of being just so enamored with me and just happy to be with me and just having to have that happen again and again.
Mm-hmm.
And this poem in particular is about when I first met my wife, but it's been several years ago now. But it was just so incredible to meet her, and I just had like this overpowering longing to be like, oh man, this person is so great. I want to be with them all the time. And I had, when you had sent me, you know, the original question, you had asked some things about how like prayer, baptism, those particular words came about. Did you want me to touch on that at all?
We actually do have that question still in here. It's a little farther along, but you can go ahead and talk about that. We were going to just ask how those words that we know as religious concepts, that most people here where we live know as religious concepts, what that language means to you as far as,
well,
you know, your opinion of those words and how you wanted them portrayed in your poetry.
Yeah. Okay, well, I can answer that. I am an Episcopalian. My wife and I were actually married in our church last fall, and my faith is really important to me, and it ends up working its way into my writing pretty much before I even realize it. So this poem in particular, I try to weave sensuality and spirituality together because I consider them to be complementary, when all too often we're told it's the opposite, especially with our orientation in particular.
Mm-hmm.
But baptism in my denomination is not particularly about something dirty being made clean, but it's about a covenant and the relationship that you make with God.
Mm-hmm.
And prayer is part of living that. So with this person, which is my wife, I found myself just being more and more of who I am, and my entire perception of everything changed when I met her, and it was just incredible. I just felt this love being poured over me. So after a while, I could no longer separate my love for this person and my love for God. And that's because love is love and God is love.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. That's beautiful. And I'm so glad that you felt that with your wife. That's amazing.
That was so sweet to hear. I was just sitting here and I was hugging my heart. I was like, that is so touching to hear.
I know.
Because
yeah.
You don't hear a lot of people say that. So it's just so nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
thank you.
Lovely.
Yeah. We've been completely welcomed and, you know, in our church community. And, you know, we had an awesome wedding. Our wedding day was surrounded by people that adore us, and it was the best day ever. But I know that a lot of people don't have the same experience that I do, so I really wanted to talk about that so that they can perhaps realize that that's not always the way that it is. Like, there's love to be
yes.
found in the Christian community and religious community. It's just maybe harder to find it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It should be, but it's still there.
Yeah, for sure. I wanted to ask you about your poem, Le Petit Mort. When our officers read this poem, we sort of all felt something kind of different. I know personally, I felt like you were writing a poem to yourself. Maybe it was about finding yourself. And another one of our officers said that he felt that your poem was written about another individual, which you were longing for. The first lines that read, I looked for you in empty bottles with heartbeats and paper labels. They're so descriptive. And just another notable line that I found interesting is the very last line where you say, and you lie covered in my fingertips. These lines created such a vivid picture in my mind. And I would love to just hear a little bit more about that poem.
Okay. See here. I've got it pulled up. I'm sitting here looking at it. This is about an individual and meeting them with, you know, when I read all these to my wife, I was like, you know what? All of these are about you. You should feel so special.
Yeah.
I mean, I did marry her, so, you know. But at the beginning, like, I looked for you in empty bottles with heartbeats and paper labels. That's about when you're just kind of younger and, like, going out to maybe bars and things like that, and you're just trying to find something. You're longing for something. And, I mean, when I was in college and stuff like that, just kind of going around and meeting people, and it was just, it got to the point it was so frustrating because I felt like the people I would talk to were just not going to be it for me. So I had been really frustrated about that.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of jaded about dating and finding a relationship and just being let down over and over again. And then, of course, the end of it, as your breathing slows and you like covered in my fingerprints, I think that's kind of obvious. But like I said, I do weave sensuality and everything into my work. And because part of being LGBT woman, you know, sensuality is definitely a part of that. So I was a little hesitant to submit that one in particular. But after I asked a few people, they were just like, hey, yeah, that needs to be represented. So you need to talk about that.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Yeah, that was one of my favorite ones. I mean, they were all really, really good. I loved that one. I also loved Frozen, but I loved that one because it was just such a vivid picture that you created with it. And I do think there is like a stigma against discussing sexuality in terms of religion. And it really does all kind of weave together, like you're saying. So I think it's really great that you submitted that poem. I really appreciate it.
The psalmist was very emotional. I felt a lot of emotions of sadness, some anger, and maybe disappointment. You described being destroyed. You said suffering has no quantity, only a pulse. You also say, so starts the exorcism of your voice inside my head. Can you tell us some more about this poem and the emotions portrayed here?
Absolutely. This poem has, like you were pretty much saying, a lot of layers. It was one of those where I wrote it, and then I was like, whoa, I'm not even really sure what just came out of me. So I had to pick that one apart myself and really think about like where I was even coming from. But in this one, I'm writing about pretty much what inevitably happens to some degree with all relationships, all significant relationships, with your parents, with your children, with your spouses, just whenever you have a really intimate relationship. So at some point, you start to see someone's perceived imperfections and all the stuff that you don't or can't accept.
Yeah.
And they start to see yours, and it's scary. And the angry fights that can often happen with these people that you thought loved you can be really damaging. So this poem is about my experience with that, the process, and just getting through it. So I use a lot of imagery in everything I write, but this one in particular. Because it can be ugly and brutal. So I've touched on some of my own attributes. You know, I'm a sensitive person. I'm kind of quirky. I'm a deep thinker. And I'm also just, I won't keep the peace just because someone's being cruel, especially if it's someone that I love. So it's about standing up for myself and not letting someone else define me and refusing to compromise who I am.
Absolutely. I love that. I mean, it is just so hard for anybody to come out and be open about who they are and just feel comfortable and safe to be the person that they want to be. And especially for someone in the LGBTQ community and especially living here in the Bible Belt where we live, it's definitely difficult to do that. So I absolutely commend you for writing about it and for standing up for that, because that's really, really important. I'm sorry, go ahead. So I think the most moving lines in any of your poems for me was the last two lines in Frozen, where you say, it's a messy place, but it's warm inside. No one tells you hell is cold. Can you talk to us about those lines and this poem? Because those lines were really, really moving to me.
Well, with that one in particular, that line, it was kind of like my speed line for writing that poem. I just was kind of driving down the road or something, and I was like, you know, hell, it's maybe just cold. Like, it's the cold shoulder that you get from somebody that you were once just on fire for. So it's about, like, being in a relationship with someone for quite a while and things seem to wane, and you not all that into each other after a while, and disillusionment took 10, and you're just kind of like, hey, what happened here? You used to be really crazy about me. So to feel that kind of someone turn from you and be cold towards you is, I mean, it's a really hard feeling to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, like, actual hell is to feel just a coldness from someone. That's one of the worst things that for me that I could feel in a year.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. I mean, people talk about love being warm, and then they talk about hell, you know, with flames and fire and all of that stuff. But yeah, when you go into detail like that, definitely hell could be portrayed as cold for sure. Yeah.
I mean, it's an interesting perspective.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
All right. Would you say that you've experienced any constraint or lack of acceptance from religious communities? If so, how did you deal with it?
Oh, absolutely. In society, I think that's just inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
There will always be people who don't accept me, and I'm okay with that. I will no longer live for their approval. And after a while, you realize it's just not worth it. It's just too heavy to carry, and just decide to be who you are. In the church, I talked about this a little bit earlier in our interview, but I did a lot of church shopping several years ago. And I'm fortunate to not have had those horrific experiences that some I know have, but I was definitely met with really intolerant and distasteful people within church walls. And just, I mean, that's always hurtful to go through that, where you're supposed to be in the walls of, you know, non-judgment and welcoming.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I knew deep down that none of those actions were a true reflection of actual Christian values, so I didn't stop until I found where I needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, that's a lot of what our team has talked about like the the idea of what Christian values are and then what they really are and the different opinions and ideas about that. It's definitely been something that our team has struggled to discuss. So I love that you brought that up as well, as someone who's experienced both love and maybe a little bit of lack of acceptance in the religious community. So I appreciate that.
Honestly, if anyone is going somewhere and if it's not about love, it's not about God.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of my litmus test for trying to find someone. If I didn't feel that I could at least be welcomed and everything, then I just kept on and searched somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's hard finding a church that is just a good environment. I mean, I haven't experienced stuff like that, but I mean, I've went to churches because I church shop too, and I've went to churches and I wore jeans and I just, you know, you feel judgment just even walking into some places, especially in the South. It's just crazy. You can just be judged on what you wear or who you are. And it's just, that's not how it should be. You know,
I've worn jeans and I've worn dresses and just whatever I want to, you know.
I know, you should just come as you are. That's how the Lord wants you. So, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But yeah, in our area, especially, it's so difficult. Or what we run into a lot of the time is like, well, you can come here and you're welcome and everything, but
you better sit in the back.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure. But, that's terrible.
No, it's not like that everywhere. Like, we need to be celebrated for who we are, and diversity is not something that we need to run from.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Okay. It has been very enlightening talking with you today. Is there anything else you would like for us to know that you haven't reflected in your creative work?
Just that the LGBTQ plus community is full of creative people and gifts and talents that we have to share with the world. I hope the emotion that I put into these poems is palpable for the readers and listeners, and that they're able to see some commonalities and love and life and just being human.
Yes, thank you so much. We hope that our podcast is going to help with that too. And we really, really appreciate you being on the podcast today.
Oh, it absolutely.
It was wonderful talking
really
to you.
It. Thank you all.
Mm-hmm, thank you. You can view Breon's poetry on our Facebook page at Alpha Iota Chi Chapter PTK. According to research by Beaver Ridge, Southern states have been characterized by negative attitudes toward the LGBTQIA+ community and indications of minority stress, effects as measured by higher rates of mental health concerns for the LGBTQ community. We hope that our podcast can help with this, help kind of mediate a little bit of this here in the South. So we can be known as loving individuals who love everyone and take diversity for the very special gift that it is. Be sure to tune in next week to Finding Unity in Humanity, Beginning a New Legacy of Social Justice, where we talk to two more of our artists. It's an episode that you don't want to miss.